the Sunday morning discussion class here at Wings Christian Fellowship. Sean, would you lead us in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us here with a heart to hear you, to listen from you, to learn from you,
yes,
and to be better people, mm-hmm, who follows you in truth. I pray that everything that would be said here, pray that your word that would be taught here, that it transforms our life, it changes,
yes,
us,
yes,
and I pray that we do what is your word tells us to do, not just be the hearers, but that we practice and follow your path. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Well, we had decided last week that we were going to discuss in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, 11, and 12. And so I was going to read out of the Mirror Bible, read and study while during the week, and I did pull up my Mirror Bible app, and guess what? He did not do a translation of 2 Thessalonians.
Oh, really?
He did 1 Thessalonians, and then the next book he had was 2 Timothy.
Oh,
so I imagine that he works on things that he feels the Lord has given him insight on, and he doesn't, do this. Maybe later he'll come around to it. So anyway, since you wanted to talk about 11 and 12, would you like to read it? Or either you or Buddy, I don't know. Who's the guy today, or who's the girl or the boy?
2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10 to 12.
10 to 12.
10 to the end.
Okay. When he comes to be glorified in his saints, on that day he will be made more glorious in his consecrated people. He will be marveled at and admired, and his glory reflected in all who have believed, who have adhered to, trusted in, and relied on him. Because our witnessing among you was confidentially accepted and believed and confirmed in your lives. With this in view, we constantly pray for you that our God may deem and count you worthy of your calling and of his every gracious purpose of goodness, and with power may complete in you every particular work of faith. Faith, which is that learning of the whole human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Thus may the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and become more glorious through and in you, and may you also be glorified in him according to the grace, favor, and blessings of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One.
Okay.
When it talks about that day, people are lots, you hear him talking about the coming, of his coming back, that, which no man knows, because only Jesus even told him, only my Father, Jesus said that. But I was looking at each day of his revealing himself to us, in us, and through us. And that, how the scriptures talk, this is the day the Lord, has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. And I look at, we need the importance of us daily seeing. seeking him, knowing him, yielding to him, and him having his way and will in our lives, in our choices, mm-hmm. guidance and wisdom from him each and every day. Instead of sometimes people are looking more and more at that day in the future when he appears, you know, they have saying when he's glorified, his saints, on that day that he will be made, what, you know, they're talking about that day. And some people look at that and all they talk about and think is going to heaven. I'm just standing instead, waiting and looking to be going to heaven. And I see the more importance of each and every day that we're living and being committed to him instead of looking only for that day.
Well, you know, I love the way it says in verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe. And then, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And it's so much, it gives me, when I really stop to think about it, it gives me a whole different thought process, the difference between on that day and in that day. Mm-hmm. Because on that day means, oh yes, I remember when I got saved. It was on February 21st, 1907, you know. That's different on that one specific day. But in that day is in each and every day. It's an to me, it is an ongoing thing. And it gets, it's not walking across the top of something, it's digging down into it, you know, digging into that day.
Being involved.
Yes.
Yeah. A part of.
And I find that that's true, that that God would count, then in 11 it says, we pray always for you that God would count you worthy of his calling. Well, of course he's going to count us worthy of his calling, because Jesus Christ is the only worthiness that we have of his calling. But thank God we have that. And to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. See, he back in Ephesians, it says something about all things are done for his good pleasure. He does what he has proposed to do from before the beginning of time. He always wanted to do it. He did it. He saw it as completed, and as that, it is completed. But it is being revealed. That it has been done in us according to his good pleasure. What do you think that means? It means because he wanted to. He loves us because he wants to. He loves us because of his kindness. He loves us because he has made a covenant with us that he would never leave us and never forsake us. He will always, always love us. And if we think on those things, all our days will be different than the days of those who do not understand those things yet. Mm-hmm. Each day we can walk in, you know, in the peacefulness of Psalm 23. We can, you know, we can walk and the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Mm-hmm. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got a really pretty backyard thanks to my wonderful husband who loves, you know, he digs holes and puts pretty plants in them. And he, these days he's been cutting the grass almost every other day because he likes it to look good. You know why? You know why he wants it to look good? Because he does it of his own good pleasure. Because he loves me. And that's why he does it. He says, I do that. I want you to be happy with everything that you have. I want your house to be everything that you want it to be. I want your backyard. He's just so good to me. He's like God with skin on. I just, you know, it's so great the way that he treats me. And the older and more decrepit I get, the more he shows me that love. I love it. So, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. And I looked up that word come, and that word come is not the same. This one actually does mean to come, to go from one place to another. But 99% to me of the times when it talks about the Lord's coming, it really means the unveiling of the glory of the Lord. Where is it being unveiled? It's being unveiled in us.
Yes.
And I find that that's true. If I just don't get in the way, every day I can feel that the Lord wanting to reveal himself in me. And how can you worry about other silly things, even though I do sometimes? He allows me to, you know, to show me, hey girl, you ain't there yet, you know, you're on your way, but you ain't there yet.
Well, First John 3:2 says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. And the thing that struck me is, it has not yet been known. We don't know who... We don't know who we are yet. You know, we have a perception of who we are.
Yeah,
but we don't
true.
Have the same perception of who we are that Christ has of who we are.
And who is the truth?
Yeah.
Christ is the
right,
truth.
Right. And that's the thing that, to me, I think that's the thing that should motivate us to know more each day who we are in Christ. I think that's how our faith gets strengthened, because if we want to follow him and be what he wants us to be, we have to take those steps every day. I have this little thing right here. I think I've shown it to you before. It's a little Indian thing. I don't know where she got it. She bought it for me. I put this on every morning. And I put it on, and I say, Lord, keep me going forward every day. I point it up, and I mean it's just a little ritual I have, you know. But it's a for me. It's a reminder of what I need to do. Now, like it says, you know, there's no perfect guy, and you know, there's no perfect person in this world. And I'm gonna make a lot of mistakes, but at least I have the mindset that even if I do make a mistake, I can still keep moving forward. And I think that's the most important thing in our faith, is to know, to just be aware every day of what we're doing and make sure that we're trying, and I shouldn't even say it that way, try our best to do what's right and let the Lord lead us in that direction.
Honey, where did you say that? Oh, go ahead.
1 John 3:2.
1 John. First John. Oh, I thought you said 3 John. Okay. I just want to... 1 John.
He was saying something too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. So I have like I can say it's a question, but I would like to say to you, but my language, maybe Shad can help me. I can be comfortable to say. So. Kenshi yadusomye ijambo ry'Imana.
I'm sorry, when we read the word of God,
dukunze kubonamo nk'abantu batatu.
We usually kind of see three persons.
Hari abantu bizeye.
There are
believers,
there
are those who actually never got to know the Lord.
And there are
those who say that they are Christian, but they pretty much don't show any fruits of being a Christian. Like they don't have fruits. So in their doing, they pretty much deny what is God supposed to, what is God teach us to do.
So uhereye Yesu yigisha kugeza ku ntumwa abo bantu izo byiciro bitatu z'abantu zagiye bigaragara.
From Jesus' time or his preaching, all those three categories of people were kind of there.
Kandi byari bifite ubutumwa butandukanye izo byiciro bitatu.
It seems like it's a different gospels through those things.
Yesu yavuganaga n'abizera aribo bigishwa we yarakomezaga akabwira ijambo ry'ubugingo.
When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he would strengthen them and tell them stuff to strengthen them.
Aho yabona abapagani akababwiriza ko bagomba kwizera.
When he would see people who did not believe in God or who did not believe in Jesus, he preached to them so they can believe.
Yahura n'abandi bagaragara ko bizeye ariko babihakanisha imirimo.
When he would meet the Pharisees or maybe those people who say they believed but did not show the signs of believing,
yes, akababwira ko bagomba kubirinda.
Jesus will often tell the believer to kind of avoid the Pharisee class.
Niba Bibiliya igaragaza ko ari abanzi b'umusaraba.
Because the Bible will say that they are the enemy of the cross of Christ.
Kandi Bibiliya igaragaza rimwe ko aribo bagusha abantu batumuza kwizera.
And sometimes the Bible will show that they are the ones who will make some of the children in faith to fall, they will.
So igice cyose dusomye uzusangamo ibyo biki.
So we usually kind of find these things in a lot of places in the Bible.
Ariko rimwe na rimwe rero icyo ngera ku kibazo cyanje biratangaje cyane kuri none.
It's a surprise today.
Usanga ibi bice bitatu bisa naho itorero ritabyitaho.
It seems like today we kind of like don't differentiate with those three categories, which kind of like we just don't differentiate them. We don't have the church as a church. Yes.
When you say that,
yeah,
do you mean we accept everyone, no matter?
No.
Yeah.
Which category they fall into? Because we don't differentiate.
Sivuga ko ndavuga bamwe mu bizera ntabwo mvuga ko ari abantu bose. Urabona ko kuri none icyaha mu bundi ni business ikomeye y'umuntu.
Today it seems like a sin or somebody committing sin, it's like their own business. It's not like
imibabaro y'intumwa na Yesu nuko kenshi bakoraga ku byaha by'abantu.
The reason why Jesus and his disciples were prosecuted was that they used to teach about repentance and sins.
So bikabacumita mu mitima bigatuma bagira ubugomero.
People would be touched, would be opposing those kinds of teaching, and then we persecute them when they will yes.
Ya niyo mpamvu Yesu yavuze ngo ntitwahawe kwizera Kristo gusa, Pawulo nako twahawe no kubabazwa kubwe.
That is why Paul says that we did not just, we were not just given to believe in Jesus, we were also given to be persecuted for his gospel. As you who grow up here, who lived here,
kubera ko ubutumwa bukora ku cyaha butakibwirizwa cyangwa ngo abakristo babwirwe ko bagomba kwirindira ibintu bimwe n'ibindi.
Why is it that in America today the teaching on sin is not preached anymore? Like, yeah.
I agree.
No kwirinda.
And
kubwira abakristo ko bagomba hari ibintu bagomba kwirinda
runaka. On the scene and the teaching of
kubizera. Inyigisho kubizera kwirinda.
Yeah, to the teaching of being faithful to God, like being faithful as a Christian and avoiding sin and avoiding like the worldly things.
In America today, and not only in America, in England,
yes,
in Australia, anywhere where a church, an organized business with the name church on it, to my way of thinking, has missed the mark. They've lost their first love. They have found that money, the love of money, has become their God. And even if not that, they are certainly willing to overlook in their brothers and sisters deep-rooted character defects that for their income and their pews. This is something that, to my way of thinking, we can see it, but we should not partake in it. Because we know and have believed that the important thing, the only thing, is one person, you, and your relationship with your Creator, God. And what, you know, and beyond that, those are the things that bring peace, comfort, and serenity to our lives. All this other nonsense is nonsense. And anything like that, we need a new airplane so that we can go spread the word of Christ, all that stuff. I was going to say, it seems like it's almost a little bit less today than it was 20 years ago, when the big televangelists were, send money. If you're getting your spirituality and your spiritual teaching from that television, then you're missing, then you're just being lied to. And we have been called to follow the truth. And they are lies. They are telling lies. And the great majority of people are following their lies. Maybe with in their innocence, they might believe that they're doing the right thing. And I think that's between them and God. I don't judge it. But for us, we are responsible for what we know. And so therefore, I wouldn't say we need to stand up on a soapbox and condemn, but we need to stay away from that stuff. It's not good. Maybe let God deal with it. I was reading in Proverbs the other day where it says, it might be Proverbs chapter 1, where it says, blessed is he. Anyway, it's something about.
Yeah.
Blessed is he. Maybe it was Psalm 1. Wait a minute, I'm going to find it here.
Yeah, Psalm 1.
Psalm 1?
Yeah.
Sit, walk, stand. I remember those words were in it. I thought that was a nice play on the words.
Yep.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Yes.
Don't walk in that counsel. But.
Well, you're reading
Psalm 1.
Of some more.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Not standeth in the way of sinners. And I took that two ways. You know, you can stand with the sinners, but he's also saying, don't stand in their way. You just don't have anything to do with them. You know? Because there is a place in the Bible where it says, if a man sinneth, he yet will sin. You know? But don't stand in the way of sinners. Not blessed is the man who not stands in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who not sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. To me, that kind of tells you what your attitude should be. I don't have time to take counsel from the ungodly. I only have time to think about my Lord, my God, delight myself in his law day and night. You know, because if you do that, when do you have time to take counsel from the ungodly?
Can I read that?
Absolutely.
It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice and their plans and their purpose, nor stands submissively and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, which is his precepts and the instructions and the teachings of God, that he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and night. And what shall he be like? He shall be like a tree planted firmly and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also is not to fade or wither. And everything that he does shall prosper and come to maturity. And then what is that? Because he relies upon God. He's looking to him and doing. And see, these we don't stand, but you know what? We don't cast them aside and forget about them. We pray for those that are the sinners and the mockers and that. Because what Jesus, he had only two commandments of us.
Mm-hmm.
To love our brothers and to love, you know, to love God. And so it's, we look at the different churches with all their different traditions and teaching, and you look and say, well, how can the sinners and those that know not God, it looks like a lot of confusion. It would be to them at the different churches, the different traditions, the different things they teach. And I think we who are following God and doing what we feel is what God, that we should pray for them, not be a part of them, because God is wanting to present himself in us and through us unto them. And because Jesus did not come to condemn, but he came to give life. And this is what he's wanting to do in us, to us, and through us to those that know him not.
I like to say, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess.
And God is dealing with each, and he has his way of dealing life. And you think back when you came to Christ, how long he spoke to you. I can look and tell when he really started making me aware and speaking to me. And how long it took before I actually yielded. But God has his time and he draws. And each of us have our own story and history be it told, how God brought us, how he taught us, and how he's teaching us that we are becoming. It's a daily process. It's each day seeking and looking to him. Because so many times I think of choices I've made, and I said, I didn't even ask God. I saw maybe a need that high. And God wanted to work maybe a different way with that person. And I jumped in and went on and did what I thought, mainly many times, a loved one of mine. And in the suffering, in my suffering, come to know God in their suffering. He may be doing the same thing, but what do? Put our hand on it. We don't want to see him suffering and going through, but we need to so get wisdom. I look at so many errors, mistakes that I've made, but in it all, God has been merciful and forgiving, and I have learned from that experience. And just thank God for his faithfulness in the midst of it all. Yeah.
Well, let me start again. The way Christianity in America has evolved since I was young, I know that I was raised Catholic, and I always, I didn't have a relationship with God being raised Catholic. I just didn't. But I always had a respect for what the church was and what God was. And I had respect for all the other churches too, you know. Back then, if you were in I went into a Presbyterian church, I had a respect for what they were teaching. I had a respect for the Baptists. I had a respect for all that, because I respected the reality of God. And I think in America today, that has gone away. And I think that's part of what you were saying. It's the churches are feel good. Oh, you know, everybody in this room is going to have a big, big financial thing to happen to them. And you're all going to be fine. Don't worry about it, you know?
All they're doing is tickling your ears, really.
I'm not a fire and brimstone guy. I don't like that. I've been in churches and honestly, that scared me to death. But I do know this, that if the churches would get back to the basic teachings, is what God is trying to get us. I think that's where God is trying to get us. There would be a lot different attitude about everything going on in this world.
And
you know, the one thing I love about you guys is you are right there, man. You're right where I want to be more than ever, because you're right there, the basic teachings of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to be. And living in America, they make it very easy to be a storefront Christian.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm a Christian. But when somebody says, what has God done for you? Well, I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Right. You know, and it's and I think that's the truth. Yeah. I think that's the honest to God's truth.
Yeah.
People don't want to talk about their faith.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you, I still run around with a bunch of guys that I grew up with. We were all raised Catholic. They're all Catholic.
They still are.
And they we talk about it every once in a while. We talk about what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And I'll kind of kid them, and then they call me the Reverend.
Uh-huh.
And I said, no, let's don't go there yet.
Imagine.
Reverend.
But you know, they know that I've changed, but they respect what I've done, and I respect where they are. And I think that's what's happened in this country. People have lost respect for each other, especially in religion and in Christianity. You know, well, I don't like you because you're a Baptist. Well, you know, maybe they're way farther along than you are. You never know. You know, because God teaches us in our own time.
And it's relationship.
And it's a relationship.
Well, I remember one minister years back.
Well, Kat, I will tell you what. When we lived in Florida, I found a church down there. And it was a Baptist church, but they didn't say it was a Baptist church. And I learned so much from this guy who was the pastor down there. And Kathy even said, I met some of the best Christian people I ever met in my life there.
They were one-on-one relationships.
They were 100% in.
And what? The church that they went to was secondary to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it wasn't the title.
No.
It was their relationship.
Yes.
Well, and that's it. And the churches today, I don't think, teach relationship. A lot of the churches don't teach relationship.
That's why a lot of people, sinners and such, look and see confusion.
For me, relationship is, that's it. There's nothing else for me.
That's why Jesus came.
Yeah, that's, there's nothing else for me. And I've said it more than once. I've had conversations with people and they'd say, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, the only thing that counts is you and God.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, period. You, your personal relationship with God. Because if you have that, you have it all. You have it all.
Let me read this that you talked about before.
What is it?
1 John 3:2.
Is that I'm going to start
with one.
1 John 3.
How
many hours are you here?
Two. What? Three? What? Where are you
starting?
You're starting
with
one, all right.
Oh.
That's a
good thing.
Mm-hmm. Behold, John. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us.
Oh, yeah.
That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right now, this minute, at this very instant, this second, we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear. Now, the reason I looked that up was because I wanted to see what that word appear means.
It is not disclosed, made clear.
Yes, there you go. It's what? Not disclosed or made clear to us or to the world.
Yes.
What we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear,
mm-hmm.
when he is disclosed
and manifested,
we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is.
Yes.
this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Okay. If that's not relationship, I don't know what it is. It's not a bunch of rules. It's not a bunch of commandments. It's not about going to confession or communion. It's not about what church you go to. It is one-on-one. What manner of love the Father has towards us. I mean, you could sit and ponder on that for days, weeks, months, and years. Oh, that we should be called the sons of God? Oh my goodness. And then I was looking, it's in 1 James. It's in James yes. chapter 1. Looking into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. You know, when you get away from all those rules, regulations, wear your hair in a bun, don't go to movies, don't dance, all that kind of junk. When you realize what manner of love the Father has for us, you're looking into the perfect law of liberty. Let's look that up. Have you got James chapter 1? It's around
22,
23, 24, 25.
Verse, you mean
1:22? 25 is actually. When you look into the perfect law of liberty.
But doers, so get rid of, let me see.
Chapter 1,
25. I've got it, but where you want me to start? I'm trying to lead into where.
Yeah.
About 16, where it said, do not be misled, my
yes.
brethren.
Yeah.
Every good gift and every perfect, free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light in, which is the shining of, whom there can be no variation, rising or setting or shadow cast by mm-hmm. his turning as in an eclipse. But it was his own free will that gave us birth as sons by his word of truth, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. Now understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense and get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God, wishes and requires. So get rid of all uncleanness, rampant outgrowth and wickedness in a gentle, modest spirit. Receive and welcome the word which is implanted and rooted in your hearts and contains the power to save your souls, but be doers of the word, obey the message, not just merely mm-hmm. listeners to it, betraying yourself into deception of reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone mm-hmm. only listens
yes.
to the word yes. without obeying it and being a doer of it, then he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, for he thoughtfully observes himself, and then he goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully unto the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets,
mm-hmm.
but an active doer mm-hmm. who obeys, and he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, what, in your opinion, everybody or anybody jump in, what is the perfect law of liberty?
Anyone?
Well, I'll understand to be the liberty that we get when we are truly saved, when we look to God and not to when we look to God with our heart and mind and focus on God and not what we think ourselves.
Yes.
We just kind of like look to God, what is the Bible say, tells us to do, and then we go to that. That's what I think it is.
Lovely. Beautiful.
I think it's a freedom in Him. I believe it's not, we look at all the things that we feel that God is requiring and want to be obedient, you know, to Him. And we don't have to do any of these things. But we so love Him, and there's a freedom in us that we so desire to do and to be pleasing unto Him. And we have a freedom. And it's free, and it's in Him. Mm-hmm. Along with what you said. Yes.
Anybody else?
Kuri 25.
James chapter 1:25. When you look into the perfect law of liberty. Do you know what I think the perfect liberty, the law of liberty is? It's being so in submission to God and His desires for us to not that we are freed from our own desires, the bondage of self. That, you know, self-will, selfishness, all of that kind of thing, that is the bondage of Adam. And we don't need to have it. We submit fully and entirely to God and to His will, because behold what manner of love.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, it just all goes back to that. He has made us His sons. And when we love Him that much and we become that love slave, and we get our ear on the door, that we become His slave and we will do anything He says, no matter what our will tells us to do. I found in my own life that the more that I do that, the freer I am. Because I'm not responsible for the outcome. If I do exactly what God told me to do, no more, no less, and then go on to the next thing, I can leave that thing away and know that God is, you know, handling it from here.
Yeah. So something I can think here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know that liberty is from how you know your light, your right. So if you know your right on Jesus, they make you liberty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I remember when I came here, my first job, I did not know the life in the company, in the warehouse. You have to know your right, like employee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know that, so you not be free. You think maybe you're gonna be free like that. Mm-hmm. But when you know your right, you be free. Think so you are free.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why if we look in here, they say if you know Jesus, so they make you liberal. So because you know you're right on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think that.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we better close.
Where is it?
Let's see, Mike.
Father, thank you.
Do some discussion in this, or we got for next.
Do you have more to say?
I'm asking them, how.
You're asking the men?
Yeah, how, where they, where, yeah, where were you, where we gonna go next week?
Where do you wanna go next week, men?
Oh, well, I think probably just the next chapter.
He wants to go to who?
Next chapter, chapter two, all right.
Yeah, I guess chapter two.
That's good.
We make more sense.
Two, did you say, chapter two?
Yes, they get to say.
I mean, it does, no matter what, we always wind up having a wonderful discussion about that. Okay, Mike, close this one for us.
Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord.
Mother's Day gifts.
For the opportunity to be here today and just have this discussion. Thank you for helping me to understand more what I need and what to understand. And Father, just thank you for your word, because it is such a life-giving.
Yes.
Path to what we, who and what we are in you. And Father, I was just reading a footnote on John 3:1, and it said, you know, we are children of Christ now, not in the future.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Lord,
yes.
That I don't have to wait to become a child of Christ. And Father, I just give you all the praise and glory. I ask that you
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise you.
I ask that you bless this service today. And Father, just bless the baptisms today.
Yes,
Lord. And Father, I just give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
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 Amen.